Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, this is Dr. Budweiser. I'm coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I'd like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to, you know, tune into this broadcast today. And your time is valuable. I know that, and I am truly, truly, truly grateful that you are participating. So, yes, I am truly happy. I'm excited. I mean, enthralled that you're actually participating. You know, your participation in this program today. So, over the next 29 or 28 minutes, you know, I want to add to your wellness experience. So, we got a lot of ground to cover today. So, I'm going to go ahead and get started here. Sunshine. Wow, sunlight. The sun. You know, the sun is at an average distance of about 93 million miles, or 150 million kilometers away from the Earth. It's so far away that light from the sun, traveling at a speed of 186,000 miles per second or 300,000 kilometers per second, takes about 8 minutes, 8 full minutes to actually reach us. You know, we've read poems, or at least I have, or listened to music, and we hear phrases like, we walked in the warm sunshine, relaxing in the sunshine, natural daylight. His or her smiles was all sunshine. So that would infer, or it should infer, that sunlight, direct sunlight, is a good thing to experience, a good thing for the human body. Today, I want to talk about the sunshine vitamin, an inexpensive and a very powerful vitamin that is so instrumental to in optimizing your health. You know, last week I discussed the importance of vitamin K in the body. I mentioned that vitamin K was essential. It was an essential close associate or partner to the sunshine vitamin. So in this session, let's talk about vitamin D. Exposure to the sun is the human race's natural, intended, and most effective and most neglected source of vitamin D. We're now finding out that vitamin D sufficiency, having basically adequate amounts of vitamin D in your system, along with diet and exercise, as the word diet and exercise again, is one of the most important preventative factors in human health. That's a heavy statement. There are hundreds of studies that link vitamin D deficiency with significantly higher rates of many forms of cancer, as well as heart disease, osteoporosis, and even multiple sclerosis. And that's just to name a few. You know, there really should be a deficiency of this. Well, actually, it really shouldn't be a deficiency of vitamin D in our system, because sunshine is free. It's a free commodity. You can go walk in the sun. You can run in the sun. You can work in the sun. You can lay in the sun. Just be in the sun for free. I'm speaking of natural vitamin D production through regular, non-burning sun exposure. I'm not talking about going out in the sun and, you know, you're out there so long that you burn your skin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about using the sun, using those rays, specific ultraviolet radiation, basically radiation that your body needs in order to make this vitamin D. So, once again, I want to say this. I want you to really get this. I'm speaking of natural vitamin D production through regular, non-burning sun exposure. You know, we should make 90% of our vitamin D naturally from sunlight exposure to the skin. You know, when the sunlight actually hits the skin, it starts a chemical reaction that converts cholesterol in the skin to vitamin D3. You know anybody taking a cholesterol medication? Now, this process involves melanin pigment. It involves UV light from the sun. It involves the liver. It involves the kidney. It involves your bloodstream, you know, all to get to the hormone form of vitamin D that you can actually use. Now, earlier I said that it is estimated that we get or should get more than 90% of our vitamin D from casual daily sun exposure. You know, non-skin burning sun exposure. Like, my tongue is getting twisted today, but we'll be okay. Of course, the darker your skin, the more sunshine you need to make adequate usable amounts of vitamin D. And the usable vitamin D is D3. So the darker your skin, which means the more melanin pigment you have, the longer you need to be in the sun. And we'll discuss why that is soon. You know, some studies have found that between 5 minutes and 30 minutes of sun exposure to your unprotected face and arms and legs or back between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., you might want to write that down, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., 2 to 3 times every week is enough for your body to produce all the vitamin D3 it needs, according to the Office of Dietary Supplements at the National Institutes of Health. So they've already figured this out. You know, under picture-perfect conditions, the human body is able to produce as much as 10,000 to 20,000 IU, or international units, of vitamin D in approximately 30 minutes. Be praised, picture-perfect conditions. Yet, vitamin D deficiencies are on the rise in every single age group. It's estimated that as many as half of all children, that's 50% of all children, teenagers, and young adults are vitamin D deficient. And many, as between 25 to 57% of American adults are deficient in vitamin D. You know, our bodies are able to produce 10,000 to 20,000 IU, or international units, of vitamin D. And this is the usable form of this vitamin, in approximately 30 minutes. So if the conditions are picture perfect, I know, the conditions when, you know, it may not be that. We don't really know what picture perfect is anymore. You know, I know the conditions where most of us live aren't picture perfect, especially with toxins in the air, our water supply, and in our food, along with all of the harmful chemicals in lotions and sunscreens getting in the way. So what are the causes of deficiencies of this vitamin? Well, skin pigment has a lot to do with how your body or skin absorbs this pigment, melanin. You know, melanin is a pigment that gives the skin, the hair, and your eyes their color. It's in all of your organs. It's even in the covering of your nerves and in the brain tissue as well. So obviously, darker-skinned people have more melanin in their skin than lighter-skinned people. So the more melanin in your skin, or the darker your skin, the less UVB light from the sun that can be absorbed, which means the darker or the more olive your skin is, the more sunlight you need to receive adequate amounts of UVB light to penetrate the skin so you can have adequate amounts of vitamin D or D3, because you want the available form of D3. You know, your weight can also affect your vitamin D3 production. Remember, vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, and the more fat cells your body has, the more you may be at risk of vitamin D deficiency. And this is because vitamin D in your body becomes trapped in those fat cells. You know, when researchers in this arena looked at obese and non-obese people, you know, both getting equal sums of exposure, they found that obese individuals had approximately 50% less vitamin D circulating in their blood than people of normal weight. And then there's aging. Good old aging. Well, I shouldn't say old, but you know, good aging. It should be good aging. You know, premature aging. You know, as we increase in age, it naturally becomes more difficult to convert sunlight to D3. And this is mostly because of not exercising, not eating enough, not getting in the sun enough, taking medications that actually interfere with the normal production of this vitamin. So if you take a person who is 70 years of age, they typically make approximately 75% or less D3 than a person at age 20. And then there's sunscreen. You know, if you want your skin to absorb ultraviolet B rays or UVB, you can't wear toxic sunscreen. And I know this is going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. If you want your skin to absorb the beneficial rays from the sun, that's UVB, B as in Budweiser, You can't wear toxic sunscreen. You know, several studies have found that sunscreens with a sun protection factor, or, you know, you see that the word SPF, of 8 or higher, actually blocks the skin's ability to produce vitamin D from the sunlight, as much as what, 95%. And if the SPF number is 15 or higher, it blocks the skin's ability to produce vitamin D by 99%. So, on one hand, yes, the sunscreen is effective in keeping you from getting sunburned, but at what expense? Vitamin D production. So, you got to be reasonable when applying sunscreen. I mean, I found over 120 different sunscreens that you could use that wouldn't harm your skin. So there are products that you can use. You just need to do your due, D-U-E, diligence in order to find out which ones that you can use. And that's why supplementation is really important here. And you know, it's supplementation is a necessary adjunct to optimizing your wellness. You know, vitamin D was actually isolated way back in 1930. And I say this, you know, I kind of like want to go through this because, you know, this is not something that just popped up on the radar screen or popped up since we have internet and you have access to it. They've been knowing about this for a long time. 1930 is a long time ago. A long time ago. And so vitamin D isolated in the 30s. And it got the name calciferol. And since then, more metabolites have been found. You know, metabolites are just a word saying that, you know, it talks about the necessary substances that your body needs to take part in to get to a certain end, like making vitamin D. You know, and two major forms of vitamin D are called ergocalciferol, or vitamin D2, and cholecalciferol, which is vitamin D3. So you have D, D2, and D3. Now, vitamin D, I know it's called a vitamin, but it's actually a hormone. It's a hormone precursor. And this is probably new to some of you. And so you'll see a lot of times in literature, when you read literature, you'll see they mention it as a pro-hormone, as a hormone, as a vitamin. You know, but it's actually... In reality, it's a pro hormone. It's something that goes into a reaction, has to be mixed with something else in order to make the active form that you need. And so, it really is a hormone rather than a vitamin. But since the disease rickets, you know, a lot of people heard of rickets, since it's related to vitamin D deficiency, it's been traditionally classified as a vitamin. You know, some of the notable biological functions and effects of vitamin D have to do with your bones and your teeth. You know, vitamin D promotes the absorption of calcium and phosphorus for the growth of your bones and your teeth. Many people drink cola drinks, those fizzy drinks, colas, I won't say the names, but are sodas. And those sodas, yes, that, you know, you have too much sugar in it, which we could spend a half hour talking about. But it also leaches the phosphorus. The phosphorus in that soda leaches calcium out of your bone. And so, when you look at the calcium and phosphorus vitamin D connection, that's why it's an important growth nutrient for infants and children. You know, vitamin D3 is converted in the liver to a more active form of vitamin D3, and then it's converted again in the kidneys, and even to even more powerful form of D3. Then the most active form acts in the intestines to promote the absorption of, yes, calcium and phosphorus. So you have three different organs, you know, three or four different organs that are actually in play to get the sunlight to hit the skin, to make the D needs to be on the skin for at least 24 hours in order for it to go from the D form to the D3 form to get in the skin. And most of the time we wash it off with, you know, caustic, when we take a shower, with chemicals, which we call soap, which is loaded with chemicals that wash it off. So once again, vitamin D3 is converted in the liver. So the liver is a detoxification center that needs to be at peak efficiency. So it's converted the liver to a more active form. Then it's bumped up to an even more active form in the kidney. And then it's the most powerful form when it gets in the intestine to promote that calcium and phosphorus uptake into the body. So it's very important that in this case, your skin, your liver, your kidneys, and your intestines are functioning well. You know, these organs are also detoxification centers of the body. Very important. You know, vitamin D is involved in both the formation or mineralization of bone, as well as the mobilization or demineralization of bone minerals. For you science types out there, you know, there is some indication that vitamin D might be helpful in some cancers. You know, geographic areas with the least amount of sunlight have the highest rates of colorectal cancer and breast cancer. The active form of vitamin D appears to have some inhibitory activity against human melanoma, leukemia, breast, lymphoma, and colon cancer cells. Now, the emphasis is on cells. Remember, virtually every physiological process that the body performs is facilitated where? At the cellular level. And that's why we got to intake the proper nutrients in a balanced form and eat in a balanced form so the body can have all the available nutrients, all the available building blocks so it can build, defend, and restore itself. And active vitamin D regulates serum levels of calcium and phosphorus. You know, vitamin D may help to prevent osteoporosis since it facilitates the absorption of calcium from the intestine. You know, low calcium levels stimulate the parathyroid gland, which actually initiates the pulling of calcium out of the bone. You know, sunlight and ultraviolet light are often helpful for individuals with psoriasis, which would suggest that the active form of vitamin D may support restoration in that area. You know, the active form of vitamin D also enhances the immune system by what? Stimulating the activity of white blood cells called macrophages that are found in the connective tissue and the bloodstream. You know, but what do macrophages do? They eat foreign invaders like infectious microorganisms. You know, they're also found in the spleen and liver. You know, I'm mentioning several organs here that are made up of cells, tissues, organs, organ systems. You know, when it comes to deficiency of vitamin D, rickets would be the classic childhood vitamin D deficiency disease. But, we don't see it that much in the Western hemisphere, the Western world, the developing countries. I have it sometimes. But when there isn't sufficient amounts of calcium phosphate in the bone matrix, it creates bones that are not strong enough to withstand ordinary stresses and ordinary strains of weight bearing. So people that have excess weight, their joints can be adversely affected if they don't have enough vitamin D. So, in adults, vitamin D deficiency can result in osteomalacia and osteoporosis. You know, symptoms of vitamin D deficiency in children would include bowed legs, knock knees, spinal curvature, pigeon breast, tooth decay, and dental problems. I remember kids used to be, when I was a kid, used to get teased because they had bowed legs and knock knees, and I had no clue that that had to do with vitamin D, and I would think they were getting milk fortified with vitamin D. It wasn't working too well, I think. You know, in adults, vitamin D deficiency symptoms would include things like rheumatic pains, muscle weakness, increased incidence of fractures of the hip and pelvis, and also the gradual loss of hearing. I'll talk a little bit more on that in a few minutes. You know, vitamin D deficiency can result from several different reasons, like from not eating enough, limited exposure to sunlight, which reduces the body's synthesis of vitamin D, kidney and liver dysfunction, which inhibits the conversion of the vitamin D to its metabolically active form. You know, vitamin D deficiency increases the risk of osteoporosis by reducing bone mass and bone density, or the size and thickness of the bone. That's why bodybuilders, you know, they put a lot of weight. They lift a lot of weight because they want to put a stress on the bone to increase the density or thickness and the size and the mass or the size of the bone. Vitamin D deficiency can cause a gradual loss in hearing because the demineralization of the bones in the middle ear, these are really tiny bones, actually inhibit the transmission of the vibration to the nerves that actually communicate with the brain. So, you know, vitamin D is just not some vitamin that, or hormone or precursor hormone that you, you know, you can take if you want. You might get it from food. It's very important, you know, and many, many reactions. You know, some medications that deplete the vitamin D from the body include, but are not limited to, medications with aluminum hydroxide in it. You know, medications, you know, aluminum medications that you can get, even get them over the counter, medications that are used to treat the symptoms of having too much acid in your stomach, heartburn, oral or acid indigestion. So you've heard of these. What about cortisone? Some people get cortisone shots, or it's, in other words, hydrocortisone actually depletes vitamin D along with calcium, folic acid, manganese, potassium, selenium, vitamin C, and zinc. And a lot of people chew these little tablets when they have acid indigestion or what have you. There's another medication, methylprednisolone, which is a corticosteroid. It depletes vitamin D. And a lot of people can get this over the counter. You know, if they have pain in the joints, to get cream. Some antibiotics like rifampin depletes vitamin D. Mineral oil depletes vitamin D. You know, the recommended daily allowance or the RDA for vitamin D is 400 IU. Now, 400 IU per day. The dosage range for vitamin D is 200 to 800 international units per day. So 400 to 800 IU per day would be the pharmacological and scientific literature range. That hasn't been changed. It should have been changed decades ago, but it really hasn't. So the bare minimum, if you can call it that, is 400. So what is an optimal level of vitamin D? Well, how much does a nursing mother have to take in every day in order to ensure that her milk will contain the vitamin D her nursing infant needs? Answer? Is it 200 IU, 400 IU, 400 to 800 IU? It's 6,000 international units. And this recent work coming out of the Medical University of South Carolina has shown definitively that such a woman needs 6,000 IU, or international units, of vitamin D per day, every day, in order for her infant to be adequately nourished, at least as far as vitamin D is concerned. So when you look at all of the studies out there, from people living in colder climates, climates where the sun doesn't shine much, like in England, to climates where, moderate climates or dry and moist climates, to dry climates, I mean very dry and hot climates like in East Africa, all of the corresponding input from all of these sources combined point to a need of 5,000 to 6,000 international units from all sources, not just supplementation, to maintain the proper levels of vitamin D in the blood. So we need vitamin D. We need the vitamin D in food. We need it in supplementation. We need it in sunlight, because most of us, we work indoors. You know, not many of us work outdoors, and not very many of us get sun exposure during the mid part of the day. And that's when you make your vitamin D. You know, say like 10 a.m. to 3, most of us are indoors. So what about toxicity? Because, you know, we're talking like, you know, the RDA is saying like 400, and we're finding out that you need 6,000, that word toxicity pops up. What about toxicity? Well, the literature is clear that many of the symptoms associated with vitamin D toxicity are actually related to other nutritional deficiencies, like not having enough. You know, when you take supplemental vitamin D, you increase your body's need for vitamin K2. So when supplementing with oral vitamin D3, you need to make sure you're also increasing your K2 and magnesium intake. The role of vitamin K2 is to help move calcium into the proper areas in your body, such as your bones and your teeth. It also helps to remove calcium from areas where it shouldn't be, such as in your arteries and then in your soft tissues. So vitamin K2 deficiency is actually what produces the symptoms of vitamin D toxicity, which includes hardening of the artery. Vitamin D does not occur in significant amounts in many of the foods out there, unfortunately. I mean, it occurs in small amounts, maybe I should say in small and highly variable amounts in butter, in cream, in egg yolks. So that's butter from grass-fed cows, organic cream from grass-fed cows, organic eggs, and liver. Very important. So that's a lot of information about a little hormone, vitamin that needs a sidekick, K, in order to develop into an active form that you need. Vitamin D is important. K2 is important. Sunlight is free, is very important. With that, I think I'll, what else do I want to say about that? I really want to impress upon you that you can go out and get all the sunlight you want. If you don't let, you know, you build up and usually you sweat just a little. Some people don't even recognize that there's moisture on their skin. Well, that has to actually be there for at least 24 hours in order to penetrate through your pores and get into the reactions to go and go to the organ to make the highly active form of vitamin D3 so you can get some benefit from it. So when you take a shower, you know, you take your daily shower or whenever you take your shower, you can use your soap. Hopefully you get an organic soap that's not a bunch of chemicals in it. And you wash all of your body, well, actually, what I call, I hope it's okay to say this, your bits and pits. On your arms, you know, breasts, between your breasts, for women, genital areas, you know, in that area. But don't put the soap on your arms. Rinse your face because you need 24 hours of that. And once that you so every other washing, you can wash, you know, the arms, legs, and back. Well, most people don't do the back, but anyway, like that. Wow. A lot of information. I'm sure, you know, this will definitely be archived. So if you listen to it, you need to listen to it again, or you need to, you know, share this with your friends because it's very important. You know, if they have children, you know, they need to be informed how important it is to get the proper D or D3 into your system. So, please go to Wiser Living for me, wiserliving.com, and sign up for our newsletter. This is wealth information. It's only so much I can cover in 30 minutes, you know. And in the upper right-hand corner of wiserliving.com, the website, just click on Wiser Living TV after you've subscribed to the wiserliving.com page. Go to Wiser Living TV and then subscribe there. You know, make sure you do that. And also go to Wiser Living Radio and subscribe there. You know, when you do that, you'll not only have access to the current educational videos that we have, but you'll also be informed when a new video will be uploaded. There's a wealth of information, recipes on wiserliving.com. Go through that. We spend a lot of time making sure that there are foods and supplementations that you can take in to make it happen in your body. So that's wiserliving.com. Subscribe. Wiserliving.com. Wiser Living TV. Subscribe. Wiser Living Radio. Subscribe. So remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Bud Wiser. We'll see you next time.